Yeah. That's our sermon title for tonight. What's the message, huh? And do we get it? Or does it fly by us, huh? What's the message? Well, some people would say it's a translation of the Bible by Eugene Peterson. What's the message? Well, I was in Tacoma, and in Tacoma, my granddaughter sent me a text, and that's the message. You might want to turn it around or something. What's the message? I asked my granddaughter today, I said, you sent me a text when I was out in Tacoma. I said, what's the message? And she said, I don't remember. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? We get the message, it doesn't really get into us, or the week passes and somebody says, well, somebody preached a sermon, right? What was the message? Well, sometimes it's hellfire and brimstone, right? Sometimes it's grace, unconditional love. Costly grace or cheap grace? What's the message? Do you check your messages? You know, there's these answer machines in the homes, right? And what's really nice about it, even with these smartphones, or for dumb people like me, but it blinks. Like a little blue light on my phone, or at home, it goes beep, beep, or like a little chirp, and so you know you got a message. But if you listen to it, and you don't tell a spouse or something about it, or you accidentally erase it, and it doesn't get passed on, what happens to the message? Messages. That can be a big problem, can't it? Sometimes they get erased, sometimes we don't understand them, sometimes it's just a bunch of garble. We think we're communicating very clearly, and sometimes it is crystal clear, but sometimes it's as clear as mud, huh? What's the message? Good question. What's the message? Good news, the gospel. But what's the good news? Or is it bad news? What's the message? A child is born. Good news. There's been a miscarriage, a stillborn, an abortion. Bad news. What's the message? What's the message? In remission, benign, good markers, good news. What's the message? What you have is irreversible, terminal, malignant, hospice care. Bad news? Well, maybe the news is all about Jesus, so even if the circumstances are bad, we can, with St. Paul, rejoice always. Because we know what the real news is. We know that the message is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of our sins and victory over death in the grave. And nothing can snatch us out of his hands. And no one can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the message. He's the source of good news, and he's the content of good news. What's the message? Not everybody gets it. Even people that sit in churches for decades don't always hear it. I'm reminded of a story of a husband saying to his wife, Sally, you know, Sally, we've been together through thick and thin. You've been with me, beside me, all these years, through the good and the bad. When we first got married and I lost my job, you were there with me. When there was a war and I enlisted, you became a nurse so that you could enter the service and be with me. When I got wounded in battle, you were with me. In my recovery. When the economy tanked and we didn't have much, you were with me, Sally. When our son was in trouble, you were right beside me, you were with me. And now, when I'm sick as a dog, here you are, Sally. You're right here with me. You know, Sally, I think you're bad luck. What's the message? You see? You can hear it, but you might not get it. Is somebody passing it on to you, making sure that you get it, making sure that you keep it? The little ones. Why is it that we rejoice when we got little ones in worship? Even if they're falling asleep or running around, doesn't matter, right? Because we know that they are here in the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with us, so that we can keep giving them the message. Love, love, serve. The proof is in the pudding, isn't it? What's the message? Paul says, no one is righteous. No, not one. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life for you. That's the message. Paul says, I become all things to all people. Doesn't mean he's a chameleon. It means that he will engage the culture where it's at with the unchanging gospel of Jesus Christ, so that he might by all means save some. He's about winning. And Paul says in our second lesson for today that he doesn't want to get disqualified. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. Paul's got a message. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is a joke, and you have no hope at all. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who fall asleep. The first fruits of those who fall asleep. That's the message. Death for us is nothing more than falling asleep and waking up eternally in the presence of the triune God. A Savior who prepares a place for us? What a message. Unbelievable. In our gospel reading for tonight, as things have been evolving, I mean, they've really been clipping along. You notice that, right? We're still in the first chapter of Mark after all these weeks. It all started with the caption, the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Victory announced beforehand. And now all of a sudden, last week, he was in a Capernaum synagogue, and there's an unclean spirit there, and he said, get out of him! He cast out the demon. But there's a problem. Remember what day it was? Sabbath. You don't do any work on the Sabbath. You wait until the Sabbath is over. Did you notice the apparent contradiction between our gospel lesson and our first reading for tonight? Our first reading from Isaiah is to people who are waiting in exile. They don't know if tomorrow is ever going to come. And it's Isaiah who writes to the Israelites in Babylonian captivity and says to them, don't you know? Haven't you heard? God's still in charge. Our God is the everlasting God. You're nothing more than grasshoppers. But you've got a name, and you're known by God, and he's not going to forget you or forsake you. Don't you know that those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength? That they'll rise up as on wings of an eagle? I mean, even young people get tired and run out of steam. But those who wait on the Lord will run and not be weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. Don't you know that? It's okay to wait. Take your time, slow down. And then you get to the gospel lesson and boom, 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 everything's clipping. You know the story. I mean, in Mark's gospel, the word alethus, it's a Greek word that means immediately or at once. 42 times. Only 10 more times in the entire New Testament is that word used elsewhere. But Mark loves it. And it's not just a literary device. It's the way of preaching the good news. There's no time like the present. Lost people matter to God. While everybody else is waiting for the Sabbath to be over in our gospel, does Jesus wait? No. I mean, those were the days they didn't have antibiotics, they didn't have Tylenol. This woman has a fever. This is a life and death situation. And they tell Jesus, And he doesn't say, well, got a few more hours until Sabbath is over. Immediately, at once, he goes in. And if you can just picture this, he takes her by the hand. I mean, you remember, if you touch somebody who's diseased or sick, you defile yourself. Jesus isn't afraid to take our sickness, our diseases upon himself. He touches her by the hand. He lifts her up. It's the same word that is used at the time of his crucifixion, when the Son of Man is lifted up on the cross. The one who lifts us up is the one who will be lifted up on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and the defeat of our death. And on the third day, and on the third day, and on the third day, he will rise from the grave. This is the victory that is already ours. This is the message that people still have a hard time wrapping their heads around. What's the message? Jesus isn't just a great physician. Jesus is Lord and Savior. The people wait, and then they all, it says, everyone in the city of Capernaum gathers at the door. And the door is open. You've been there before. They open the door, you know, sometimes there's a sign that says open, but now it's unlocked, and it means people can come in. The doctor is in. Time for business, time for ministry, time for healing. And that night, we're told that many were healed. And then Jesus, because ministry is exhausting, gets up early in the morning while it's still dark. And he goes out to a desolate, lonely place. And he prays. He communes with the Father. And he fills his cup. When I was out in Tacoma, I mean, some of these dear people that I love, while I was out there, one guy has just been moved to hospice. Another woman that I used to visit just died. I mean, lots of sorrow, right? But the good news is I'll get to see them all again. And I was at a tech study with a group of pastors, and one guy down at the end, he says, so what brings you out here to Tacoma? You know what I said? I said, my love for you. I'm here to fill my cup. Because you can't keep pouring if you don't fill it. Jesus has exhausted himself. The lifted up one is lifting others up. The one who calls us to love and serve first loves and serves us. He heals us. He makes us whole. And the proof of that pudding is in our loving and serving others. He goes out to a lonely place. It's still dark. And did you notice that the disciples are searching for him? The word in Greek literally means they're hunting him down. They're hunting him down. Don't you know, Jesus? Everybody's looking for you. Yeah, they want some of this free medicine. And what does Jesus say? We don't have time here. We got places to go, people to see. There's other towns that need to hear the good news. That's why I was sent. That's why I'm here. And then he says, I hope you caught this pronoun, let us. That's a little word, but it's a big word. Let us go on to the other cities and towns, because that's why I was sent. And at the end of the Gospel of Mark, there will be a great commission for all the baptized. They're sent out to do what Jesus did and even greater things. Picking up snakes, casting out demons, finding the lost, healing, and preaching good news. His ministry is our ministry. We are lifted up. We are raised in the font of baptism. This is our death. This is our resurrection. It's our daily dying and our daily rising. He keeps lifting us up so that we can preach the message. Love, love, serve. Not just a tennis game, but we've got to trust. It was February 1st, 2003, 12 years ago. Some of you remember that the Space Shuttle Columbia was on its way home. 16-day mission was wonderfully successful. 7 people on board, amazing people. 16 minutes to touchdown. An explosion. And all aboard are killed. Katie Couric did an interview with the commander's wife. The commander was Rick Husband. His wife, Evelyn Husband. And she says, tell us about the commander. This is his 4th mission with NASA. First as a commander. Tell us about your husband. She said, God meant everything to him. His faith in Jesus was at the center of his life. You couldn't ask for a better husband, a better father. He knew how to put his priorities in the right order. And then Katie Couric said, what would you want us to remember about your husband? What would you want Rick to be remembered for? And I still remember the question and the answer. Evelyn looked at Katie Couric and she said, you know, every time people would ask for an autograph, you know, the astronaut's picture, he would write his name on the picture, and then he would write Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Those words, Evelyn said, have always been comfort and hope to me and Rick. And then she added these words, I don't understand, but I do trust. I don't understand, but I do trust. What's the message? God has a love for you that will never, ever let you go. And while the world is trying to find truth or trying to find little g's, gods, in their own idolatrous ways, Jesus says, let us go on to other places. Because there are people that need to hear the good news. My wife told me tonight about a church. She read the annual report online. They have 1,200 members on paper, and they worship 225. That means there's a whole bunch of other people with their names on a list that evidently haven't heard the good news. Because once you hear the good news, what do? You get lifted up to love, love, serve. Don't rely upon your own understanding or strength. A little boy was walking with his father down a path. There's a big stone there. And the little boy looks at his dad and he says, do you think if I use all my strength that I could move this stone? His father looked at the stone, looked at his son, and said, I think you can do it if you use all your strength. And so the boy gets down there and he's trying to move that stone and beads of sweat are coming down his head. He can't move it a speck. He looks at his dad and he says, I guess you were wrong, Dad. I can't do it. You know what the father said? He looked at his son and said, you didn't use all your strength. You didn't ask me to help. I lift up my eyes to the hills, Psalm 121. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. That's the message. Jesus is the message. He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. I got home from Tacoma, and this was waiting in my bedroom on my bed. I will love you forever. You see, isn't this beautiful? All the stickers and colors and stuff. You see, I know that Jesus loves me. Every time my grandchildren remind me of the message. I missed you. Love, Nora Elisa. God loves you with an everlasting love. Your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Rise. Love. Love. Serve. Did you get the message?